If you freaking don't want to fight, then you freaking might as well stop right now. Are you going to stop fighting? You're behind in this fight. Damn it. Take this. You're behind in this fight. You're not listening. You got 12 minutes left. That's 4 rounds. What you do in the next 12 minutes, you're going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Your little son, he's not going to be told that his son beat Holyfield. He's going to be told he beat thoughts to a guy named Volta. Who was brought up with no talent. You understand? Anything you feel, he's feeling the same, but worse. You're just not digging. You hear me? And you can't talk about all the things you talk about if you don't perform. Now listen, if you want to live with that the rest of your life, no. Michael, it's going to happen. You got 12 minutes. You're behind. You understand? It's got to start here.
Knock him out the box.
Yes, yes. Back like we never left.
Oh, my God.
We did leave, though.
Jesus Christ.
We did leave, though. I looked at when the last one was. Crazy.
When was it?
I think Canelo Charlo.
Really?
Maybe. You are tuned in to Knock 'Em Out the Box. While B looks up, I will introduce.
October.
It's December right now. Knock 'Em Out the Box, episode 57.
57.
My name is Vinny Paz. I'm here with my co-host, with the co-most, the Mr. Majestic Left, Right, Left Kid, Mr.
Yo,
Brandon
yo.
Long.
What's shaking? What's popping?
It's been long enough. Do you have any more kids?
Nah, no more kids.
No,
no more nothing, kids. No, nothing. I gotta get the little.
Yeah,
you know
I think
saying?
So too.
Make sure I have no more kids. I don't want to turn into this Irish Billy.
Yeah, with Trey.
This kid's got. I have a feeling there's gonna be four.
Oh boy.
Well.
Up. He said, "Oh boy." I said, "I have a feeling there's gonna be four." And he's like, "Oh boy."
And he ate a Cheeto after he said it.
I did
and laughed. Mm-hmm. And laughed. Are you eating? What are you eating? Are you eating cheese doodles or Cheetos? Are you eating Wise cheese doodles? What are you eating? Cheetos?
I have no comment because I don't want to make.
You're eating my competition.
He doesn't want to make anyone any money. He doesn't want to put anyone over.
Well, if he promoted my stuff, he'd essentially be making me money, at least in the New York area.
Well, maybe he's not. Now he's trying.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm allowed to turn my video off, I start snacking.
Well, actually, I'll tell you what. I don't give a shit what he's eating as long as they sponsor the show. You know what I'm saying? So we could just I'll just ride that fence all day long.
Right.
I get to do the cheese doodle read. I already call it.
Right.
All right.
You got that.
All right.
What's the word, B? It's been a minute.
Man. Yeah. Talk every day, we don't talk to the Nockies every day.
Yeah, it's hard to wrap my mind around that part that we got to up. People haven't heard from us in 2 months when we talk every day.
You know? I think we almost should. I'm gonna have to cut you off. All right, and you're gonna have to cut me off so that we do the show. So mm-hmm. so that because then it's like, yeah, do you want to record? And I'm like, oh, fucking time.
Yeah, like, I don't want to talk to this guy.
I talk to you every
first
day.
Off, we just pissed off 40 minutes talking with you and Billy
chatting.
It's because you're a yakaron. That's the problem.
It's me. I saw what you did on your little IG yesterday. Blame me for everything.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Then there was this real slander where you decided to take a shit on New York mm-hmm. and say that you'd rather be in London than New York.
I don't know that that's what I said per se.
Unbelievable.
I don't know
Incredible.
That that's what I said.
Incredible. This kid won't even come up the block. It's basically coming up the block. Come up the block, you say hello. You know?
Well, instead,
you'd rather cross the fucking pond.
Well, I'll tell you what he said, New York or London. Exactly. New York is right up the street. So it's more accessible to me. It's been more accessible to me for my whole life. And I'm like, yeah, London's dope.
Just digging your way out of that.
No, that's for all, you know, all my geezers over there.
me geezers.
That's all for all the geezers over there. In it?
In it, I love that.
We got a ton of news and notes.
Yeah, yo, let's jump in.
There's a couple of things regarding to. I usually try to handle the news and notes, and B usually handles, like the show rundown. There was a couple things you left out, and I understand why. So I just want to rip through them as to not. I don't want to avoid them, but I don't want to waste time. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I just wanted to mention how awful I felt Shakur Stevenson looked. By saying looked, I don't mean he made mistakes or things like that.
No.
The fewest punches thrown in single digit punches against a guy who, after, all right, you do that a couple of rounds, I have no problem. You're assessing the situation. You're trying to feel how real the guy's power is, et cetera, et cetera. Some guys do it. I don't like guys that do that, including a guy we love in Lomachenko, who just takes a couple rounds. To me, people say, what's the thing we hated that started becoming downloading information? Remember that gave us, it was
that,
cringe.
Yeah, that
the Andre Ward thing. To me, it's not that. Again, a guy who was in there with real guys like Tommy Raynone or Paulie or my man Bryant or any of the fighters we know that actually fought pro would be better suited to tell us. I usually feel like people are trying to see, does this guy have some pop? That's how I see it.
More than
downloading information. Yeah, sure, you're going to pick up on things in that time. Oh, when this guy dips to his right when he throws this shot, et cetera, et cetera. But what I feel is you're saying, does this guy have something that could really is an equalizer and take me out of there? If he doesn't, then I'm going according to plan A. If he touches me and it's destructive, I better go to plan B and tell my trainer, yo, this guy hits harder than we think. If this guy clips me and I'm fighting this style, I might get caught. So I just wanted to say, this sort of goes back. Remember the first, 30 episodes of our show, I was killing Shakur and saying, yes, he's skilled, but him and Mick Conlon are hype jobs. Well, we know Mick Conlon was another thing that you didn't put in there that I just wanted to touch on. But Shakur...
Don't bet on that guy.
He regressed. His everyone ducking me thing. This does the exact opposite of help you to getting anyone in there. If a casual fan tuned in, they're never watching him again. People who consider themselves, you know, because the worst thing they think the worst thing you can call a boxing fan is a casual. You know, that's like this sort of slur in the boxing community. But then there's the people that admit it. Like, no, I just watched the big fight. You know what I mean? And all of those people that tuned in told me dead up, I have no interest in ever seeing that kid again, watching him again. So I don't know what you do with him if you're top ranked. What fight can you push? I think he's mush for a minute. I think he's mush.
Let me hop in here. one bad thing about a guy who's as good as Shakur is, and who's as focused as Shakur is, he can stink out. He will, and he can and will stink out a win if he needs to. And the second thing I'll say about that is,
okay, that's where I take umbrage. But continue.
You can take umbrage. What I'm saying is, he's good enough to do that.
Specifically, there,
right?
That you're not. If you had to stink it out, a la Bone Crusher Smith against Mike Tyson, more power to you. I know why you're doing it. What was the logic?
Well, the other thing was De Los Santos also didn't engage at all in that fight. And his strategy seemed to be like, hey, Shakur, stand there so I can hit you. You know what I mean? Like, I thought he was as awful as Shakur was.
Agreed. But terrible dance partner. Here, agreed. But then you're talking about, well, how do you handle that? This is my opportunity to be shit down someone's leg who was supposedly... this big puncher that no one knows about.
Right.
Well, no one knows about this guy, but he's a big puncher. So this is dangerous. That was the sale of it because he wasn't a name. So how do you get in there with another guy that's not a name and sell it? You go in there, oh, you guys don't know about this guy. This guy's got power.
Yeah, I'm gonna give Shakur a pass on this one. Okay. You know, word from camp is he was hurt and sick. Top Rank, two things. One, he's with the greatest promotional outfit of all time in Top Rank boxing. I don't think it's really disputable at this point. I think Top Rank will give him a better or different dance partner. And if he doesn't bring top rank money, top rank won't re-sign him. You know what I mean? They'll let him go. So it's in their best interest to put him in there with people who he can make aesthetically pleasing fights with. But again, like you said, a lot of it's on Shakur. So I'll give him a pass. I heard he was hurt.
I'm not mad at a pass. I heard the same thing, but you're not getting more passes if these performances continue.
They did
when I was killing them before.
Right.
Because he clearly got out of that. I'll call it a rut, if that's the word, the word that could be used there, and had these two or three great performances that made me say, sorry, guys, I was wrong. I always knew he was good.
Right.
You know?
You know what? It's also two southpaws sucks a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Look, if you want to set up a bunch of excuses, they're there.
Yeah.
Southpaw, we heard he was sick. Sick slash hurt. Single digit punches per round is wild. That's not a free pass for me. And if you want to overall say free pass, cool. If we get into specificities of moving your hand 8 times around, it's wild.
Yeah, no, we're into David Haye, Nikolai Valuev. Remember that fight?
I do.
He threw like 11 punches around Haye. Mm-hmm. It was awful. It was a terrible performance. But again, it did. I believe after the fight, it was like, yeah, his hand was broken. There was some issues there. Haye looked better in subsequent fights. So let's I'm going to give him a pass on that one, but I don't give too many passes. And I agree with you. This is not if this is the style he wants to fight going forward, it's not sustainable for fandom. It's certainly not sustainable for ticket sales. And it's not, I'll be honest with you. I've been following the sport a long time as you have. This is not sustainable for Top Rank.
Before anyone mentioned Floyd to us being boring, you didn't see the first 2/3 of Floyd's career.
Right.
And even still, there were other elements involved that are way bigger than the sport, into him purposely becoming a villain and the people tuning in, hoping he gets beat. Don't write in the comparison.
Can I also say something too? The same people that say Floyd was boring, or, you know, there were some boring fights. You know, we're not going to make excuses. But those are also the same people that say Mike Tyson's the greatest heavyweight of all time.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Or the greatest fighter of all time.
Right. And they have Mandela effect with Mike Tyson.
Of course.
So it's like, remember when Mike, blah, 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 you know, remember. And again, no disrespect to Mike Tyson. He's a legend, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've told you, I don't have him ranked very high. But
I don't have him in my top 50 all-time fighters.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think I have him. We'll do that one day. What I was going to say was, there was a lot of not great performances in his career, right? But if you ask those people who've rewritten history, Mike Tyson blitzed everybody every round he ever fought. He never took a round off.
Correct. He
sprinted out of the corner, threw 250 punches around, and still seemingly somehow knocked out every guy with one punch, even though he still threw. He was the busiest fighter of all time.
And the myth, ironically, funny enough, is growing.
Growing. Because he's like reinvented himself.
He's reinvented himself, and younger kids that didn't see him fight, that see 90-second YouTube reel, like IG reels or TikTok reels. This is the great bro. So I did the ask me a question thing on Instagram, and it was like Prime Ali, Prime Tyson. I'm like, my God, there's no scenario, none, where that's ever a win for Tyson. And then you know how I do when I get cranky. I just shut people down. Name one prime great fighter, Mike B.
Right.
That's the end of the conversation. End of the conversation. The best fighter he ever beat was Larry Holmes, who was 40
yeah. and on the couch
and flabby, right, and came out for a great check.
Yeah.
And was still dancing around in there.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know what I mean? Look, Subrayel Matias, not enough people know about him. At 140, I'll put him in. I'll probably pick him against anyone.
I don't know if you saw what I said about him on Twitter.
I want to say I retweeted it, but
okay,
it's been a while.
It's been a while, but yeah, my feeling on him is he's not talked about because no one wants it with him. Nobody. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk a little bit later about a fight happening this weekend for a belt at 140. Neither one of these guys has mentioned Subriel Matias.
No.
No one wants it with him. No. No one. And what's kind of weird or funny or coincidental, he fought on the Benavidez Andre undercard. He fights very much like Benavidez does. Their style is so similar. It's eerily similar. He's a fun watch. If you guys didn't get to watch that, please tune into Subriel Matias. He's an incredible fighter, and he's so good, he's gonna have trouble getting fights. He's so dangerous, he's so busy. But shouts to all of our Puerto Rican friends, family, and otherwise. We gotta see if that barba gets checked. That PRB, he might be.
Uh-huh.
If he's afflicted.
He's got to get chin checked to see if he's afflicted. And the previously mentioned Mick Conlon, who gets sparked out by Jordan Gill, who's most notably known for losing to Kiko Martinez. So it's not this isn't.
But in fairness, everybody seems to have lost to Kiko Martinez at some point.
At some point, yeah.
And look, what kind of vitamins is Kiko on?
I'm not sure, my man. I'm not sure, but that vitamin B that a lot of people are taking right now, I think Devin Haney's taking some vitamin B.
Could be.
You know what I'm saying? Vitamin B. Bigger, stronger.
I mean, they're talking about homeboy jumping to 47.
Yes,
after
already,
this program fight.
Already, yeah. Come on, stop.
But they may have watched that Matias fight. And said, you know what?
I might go north. If I'm going to get trashed, it's going to be for bigger money at 47.
It ain't going to be by that psychopath.
Right. If I get parked, it's going to be for a huge payday against a guy at 47. I'd rather get beat up by Boots in a fight that's two Americans, and I might be able to sell it because Subriel Matias, most people don't know who he is. It's all risk, no reward. That guy's going to be how old is Subriel Matias? Because that's huge.
I think he's
30. That's huge. They can wait him out.
Yeah, 29 or 30.
They can wait him out.
You know what, though? I got to say, I think his chin was tested a little bit in his last fight. That guy was – that. If you watch that fight, that guy came out throwing – that I think he's Russian.
Yeah.
Came out throwing – he's something Akistan.
He is.
He's one of the stands.
What happens there, man? I mean, there's a huge look. The island of Puerto Rico is huge on boxing. Mm-hmm. New Yorkans, huge. Philly, Miami,
Chicago.
It's tough. They should be building him. They can build him if they choose to.
Yeah.
Because that market alone is huge, and it's ironic because they've been looking for a star since Cotto.
Right.
And you and I think like it might be Xander Zayas, but we don't know yet. Mm-hmm. You know,
I don't know if Matias speaks English. If
I don't either.
You know,
I've never heard him interviewed, and anything I've ever seen has been written, so that could be translated.
Right.
If he's ever said anything, it's been in English, but that means nothing because. So I agreed there. I don't know. That's tough. 30 years old. I wonder if people will just duck him until it's time. They triple G him, you know?
Yeah.
all right. So let's move on. Anthony Joshua, Otto Wallin, Wilder Parker, DAZN pay-per-view, December 23rd, which I love getting beef sparked up about this pay-per-views on something that Fast Eddie told us. The reason you're going to buy this app is because we're going to kill the pay-per-view model. So it's 20 clams in the UK for all our UK Nakis.
How much is it for us?
How much do the brothers over there think it should be? What's they think
it's worth? It's 20 quid. It's 20 quid. How much is it here for us?
$39.99 in the US and Canada.
What the fuck?
And, and 21.99 converted to local currency in the rest of the world. We got to pay 40 clams.
So you're telling me
I am not mistaken.
I got to go to Canada?
Yes. Yes. You got to watch this in Canada.
In Canada?
No, 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 no. It's the same there.
Oh, it's all go, North America.
You got to go to the UK. You got to go to, you got to fly to the UK to save 20 clams.
Are we taking, so we're taking the Lear?
We're getting this Fadi to send us a jet. Listen,
Fadi, are you listening?
I could be wrong here.
Fuel it up.
But I think I'm right. This fucking big baby Miller, I think, is on this card. And what Pazzy Pick said, this guy within, what did I say, 12 to 18 months. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Under 2 years.
Will be on a massive card fighting a real fight. Now, okay. if I'm wrong, it's no problem. No problem, brother.
Oh, is he fighting?
So we got to fight.
He's 35.
I know. Which when I looked up.
Oh, he's fighting. He's fighting. You know who he's fighting?
It's somebody with Dubois. That name. Daniel Dubois.
Now, Daniel Dubois.
I'm going to tell you something. That's a sleeper fight right there. That's a sleeper fight right there.
Dubois got a little history now of not wanting to go to full 12. Possibly quitting. His eye was busted up in one of them, but people say maybe he could have continued against Usyk and chose not to. I'm excited about this heavyweight tilt. You know, two big fights.
How about this? I'm adding that this is three. This is three.
Three big fights.
There's going to be something there. There's something there. Something's going to happen. It's either going to be a good fight. It's either going to be winners leaves the sport. Something wacky is going to happen.
Vicious
something's
knockout.
Gonna happen. Something's going to happen there.
Mm.
And I look, prior to, I don't know how good Big Baby Miller is because I don't know how many times that I saw him fight. He was guest, but he's monstrous. He's got a good jab. He moves well for how big he is. He's very well for how big he is.
Yeah. Big athletic guy.
Yeah.
Former kickboxer.
Yes. So you're paying 40 clams to watch that unless you steal it, you criminal.
I go to the main event.
You do.
Farmingdale, Long Island.
Devin Haney. I am the face of boxing. I'm the guy that's taking the risks. Going to fight the best fighters in the world. Staying active. Selling out arenas. And I'm taking real fights doing it. I'm not a guy picking, choosing, or ducking. None of this. I'm offering the so-called best fighters contracts, like Shakur Stevenson. I am the epitome of the face of boxing.
He doesn't know what epitome means.
You know what else he doesn't know? What word he doesn't know what it means?
Go ahead.
Delusion.
Yeah. This kid, he's getting us fired up. That's what he's doing.
The best guy he fought was Lomachenko when he lost. And he's Prograis a good fighter.
Prograis a good fighter. Could be past it. He didn't look great in his last fight.
He looked like shit in his last fight, and he's 35. Age means nothing to some guys and
everything to other guys.
And Bud is 36, and I pick him against everyone at 47, 54, 60.
He has been at this weight, in my opinion, too long. He doesn't have the body type to move up, and I don't know if you remember, he was killing himself, Prograis, to make this
weight. Who are we talking
about? Regis Prograis.
Oh, okay.
Regis Prograis is an old 35, okay?
He's been in wars. The fight with Josh Taylor that was nip and tuck when Josh Taylor was, that was the fight where he proved to be the man.
Yeah.
And was still elite. Tight fight. You know, I'm not mad if someone scored it the other way. Definitely not a robbery. But if someone had it 115, 113 or something, not mad at all.
Sure.
Close fight. When you fight the best guy in his prime to a close fight, you're very good. That was years ago now. You know, time's ticking. COVID hits.
That was pre-pandemic. All of a sudden,
but that's what I'm saying, B. Like, how many times?
Pandemic's 4 years old.
Right. And you and I picked up, started going, no, pre-COVID. It's 3.5 years. We're about to be 4 in a couple months.
4 years, dude.
4 years in March, bro. And a lot of people, some people just insisted on staying busy and went in those bubbles,
right,
you know, and didn't lose much. Other guys lost their career. Other guys fought once or twice in the last 4 years. You know, you think of Spence, yeah, someone like that, and what lack of activity can do, you know, and yeah, how it can affect you. I just wanted to read that because he can't believe that, right? That's got to be his father saying to say this, or someone.
It's someone putting
it up. Eddie write that?
Someone putting him up to it.
Okay, I mean, he can't believe.
I don't think he thinks for himself. I'm going to go ahead and go on a rant right now. I don't think he thinks for himself. He's the product of a stage dad. He is the which
he's boxing. His father's a dance mom.
Right, dance mom, soccer mom. Yeah,
something great you said, man. It was great. Is his overly obsessive, sort of? I have now taken Floyd's persona because Floyd is not.
Yeah. Oh, it's so weird.
The speech patterns. The thing you always say. Great fighter. The cadence.
Yeah. It's just the script. Like Floyd wrote the script for him, and he just it's almost verbatim. It's like Mad Libs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like he just takes his opponent and plugs it into like it's almost,
plugs the name in.
Yeah. And again, like the whole thing is weird. Like they move from San Francisco or Oakland or whatever to
Vegas.
Vegas. And as a little kid, like his dad, you're going to be a boxer. Like, no, he didn't choose that.
Right. You
know, his dad made him be a boxer.
Right.
And he's good. And he sparred and trained with all the best people. And his father, I don't know the connection to Floyd, but it seems to me, with Floyd, and someone write in to kotbboxing@gmail.com. Correct me if I'm wrong. You can get close to Floyd by just showing up and sort of kissing his ass. That's what it's because that's what Ellerby did. I mean, he just, if you just pump Floyd's ego, he'll let you in eventually. You know,
there's
what I mean?
A hip hop luminary that we both are huge fans of, and it's the same way.
Really?
It's people have said, why is blah, blah, blah around? You know,
yeah, right.
X. And I'm like, all you have to do is be around a lot and XYZ, you know what I mean? And cozy up and XYZ. It's no problem.
And say
and
nice
I
shit.
I could
to
do
him.
It. And I just don't, I don't live, right. I don't move that way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So,
all right.
I mean, right. So that's who he is. He's not his own person, in my opinion. He is a manual. Listen, he gets in there and fights the fights. Okay, he gets punched, he throws punches. Mm-hmm. As far as his personality is concerned, he has none. He doesn't have one, doesn't think for himself. That's why if you watch him on an interview, and then when he goes on Twitter or whatever and gets in a fight with these other boxers, they roast him.
Mm-hmm.
And they all say that shit, like, yo, your dad.
No, he doesn't have the intellectual prowess to go back and forth with someone who's quick-tongued, you know?
Right.
The thing is, I think you're about to say Regis doesn't. Regis has that down south, very.
Yo, Regis is a New Orleans G, bro. Bottom line,
just a goon. So he's not. Right. He's not cutting Ali promos on you. He's just basically like he starts getting a hood on you. Like, yo, my guy, I'm gonna fucking go up in your mouth. Like,
did you see what he said to him? One of the
saw that little thing with Bozo Mannix, and he kind of like. Look, man, all those things are theater. We know that, bro.
Absolutely.
Back when Max started doing. But I know when a street dude starts getting where he's not part of the theatrical element anymore.
Right.
And I'm not saying that Regis Progray sat down with that in mind. Regis Progray sat down as a pro to do a face-off to sell the fight. But I see when the switch goes off and you don't know who you're fucking with. You're a fucking kid that has been spoiled. You're not from the trap. You're a private school kid, XYZ. And I know when that switch goes on.
Right.
In all street dudes. That goes across all street dudes, all across the sport. I see when it switches, bro.
I see
when they start punching their chest and the eyes get crazy, like Crazy Eyes Killer from Larry. I know. I don't know that most people know. You know what I'm saying? Because of how you and I came up and who we came up around.
We know
when the switch is turned on. And I saw it turned on with Regis where I'm not saying he got taken off his game, where he was like, my guy, we could shoot the fair without back now and fight on Saturday.
Right.
And I'll fuck your father up too. I will do that. Y'all won't. y'all will say it.
Right.
And then when it comes to it and you're pressed and the security's around, it turns to we were just selling the fight.
Yeah, we were selling
the fight. That's what happens. That's what happens, like, with Danny and Zab Judah in that thing.
Right.
Like, bro, Zab's Brooklyn people were about it, bro.
Right, right, right.
Like, oh,
Angel Garcia, it was in Modell's. It was in Modell's, is a now defunct second-rate sporting goods store. It used to be a great sporting goods store.
It was amazing when we were kids.
And then it just sucked.
But Angel Garcia with the N-word and stuff like this, because he's just a big mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like, those Brooklyn dudes.
No, they were, you're in Brooklyn doing that.
You're in Brooklyn, bro. And I'm a Philly guy. So, you know, I wouldn't say this unless I had to.
Right. Right.
Like, it would have been over for that.
Absolutely.
Like,
you saw their faces change.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And they knew it. Like, okay, this isn't for theater anymore.
But about the theater, you started seeing Devin react the way we're talking about. He's not quick on his feet. You're 35. Now, I'm not saying that that's not realistic. What I'm saying is, well, Bud's 36, bro. What do you mean?
Right.
Are you so? If you're calling him old, that's corny because the best guy in the world is a year older than him.
Right.
Well, now you and I are on a different thing. We're talking about he's an older 35. Guys, if you don't know what that means,
like
Arturo Gatti was old at 30.
Old. Yeah. Like, a lot of damage, a lot of miles. Yeah.
Miles, how you live outside of the ring. Now, I'm not putting any of that on Regis at all.
Yeah,
I'm
I don't know.
It more on fights, tough fights, a goon,
body style. And just genetics, you know, durability, right? Who knows? You know, it's just some people get, across all sports, some guys have a great 20s. Other guys can play well into their 30s. It's just
well into,
you know,
30s.
Who knows?
Yo, there's a freakish Tom Brady every now and then.
Right.
It might be Bud in boxing. The last one we had was Bernard. Well into his 40s was beating elite guys.
Right. Right.
You know, okay. We were speaking of Josh Taylor briefly. You and I said he should throw it in, but agreed he wouldn't. Didn't we? We both definitely said he should throw it in. But
Taylor?
I said, do we think he will? And I don't remember.
I don't think so.
He said he won't.
Josh Taylor, you're saying he should retire?
I thought he should retire after the Teofimo fight. I said he's shot. He's done.
Correct.
The going to 147 means nothing.
Right.
That what I saw wasn't a guy that was that damaged from weight cutting. I saw a guy that was done.
Right.
But I don't remember how we followed it up.
I think we said
we say he's going to come back. I think we said at 47.
Yeah, I think he'll come back at 47.
Josh Taylor has stated that he intends to fight three times in 2024 with his player. Excuse me. His plan being to have 3 to 4 fights before retiring from boxing. February, move up to welterweight. Mid-2024, welterweight world title. Late 2024, rematch Jack Catterall. I don't think it gets to 2 and 3. I think he goes to 47 against a Jag, which in our slang is just another guy. And I think he loses to that guy, which was my prediction for Wilder, which I was wrong about.
Okay.
I said, no matter who Wilder comes back against,
it's
Chowder. And he came out against Helenius and Fluizet.
Which he hasn't fought since then, right?
Correct.
Fuck, that was already last October.
I know. These guys are wild, man. These guys are wild. What do you think about what I just laid out for you regarding Josh Taylor? February, mid-2020.
I have a tough time. I'd like to, and I have a tough time disagreeing with you all the time with stuff like this. You're really good at predicting this. So I'm going to go, and I'd love to refute it with a point, but I think Taylor was Vin, if it's too much weight cutting, if it's not cutting weight the right way, so to speak. If he stayed the Ricky Hatton way. Right. If he stayed at 40 too long, or you know what? That's just it. That was his window. He fought tough guys, tough camps, fought often, and that's all you got. You know, it seems that the drive is there. So let's see. Oftentimes, as we've seen, when a guy moves up and has these plans. So to me, he's already looking past this first fight at his world title fight and at Jack Catterall. which to me is a mistake.
And assuming that you're just going to get a world title shot at any of the belts, even though we think they're trinkets. Who are 47? Where are the belts? Bud's got them all. They stripped Bud of the IBF and gave it to Boots. So where are all these belts?
You're going to go fight Boots?
Right. I mean, come on.
Boots is going to fuck you up.
Before we move on,
I would say bring on that chowder. Bring on that Scottish chowder.
Sure. Let me ask you a question before we move on. This move up to welterweight, that's just going to be against a guy, you know?
Yeah.
Bottom top 20 maybe or something.
Right.
Do you agree with me that the worst thing that could happen is him winning that? Or no?
No.
What if he looked good against a low top 20 guy?
If he looks fantastic, then...
Fantastic. Are you like, we were wrong this whole time?
Not this whole time, because like, if we're following his plan, right?
Yeah, we're following his plan.
Right. So then we'd have to wait till this title fight, right?
Right.
And that's when you and I can better assess. We'll say, all right, jury's still out. He fought a 40-year-old, you know, he fought Randall Bailey coming out of retirement. You know what I'm saying? Which, by the way, who would still be dangerous.
His right hand would still might
Randall
catch.
Bailey is the scariest human being on the planet still.
I don't want to get hit with the right
I
hand.
I might be the biggest Randall Bailey fan in the world. So, but anyway.
I'm a fan of you being a fan of Randall.
I love Randall Bailey.
It's like me being a monster fan of Julian Lederlow.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't. What was the guy Randall Bailey? He ended it. Mike Jones? Philly?
Yeah.
Poor guy. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Guys, all fight.
Wasn't it the 12th?
Yeah, it's the last round. He fucking, all of a sudden, I looked down, I looked back up, and I saw the bottom of his fucking boxing boots.
I could not.
Starched him.
Bro, and like you said, was cruising
behind the jab, looking good, dancing, flailing,
flailing.
Good night. He's like, hey, Randall Bailey's like, yo, man, how many lights are up on that ceiling? He's like, what? Good night.
Count to your head. How old is Randall Bailey? I know the answer, so I'm not guessing.
He's 51.
49.
Oh,
I thought I was gonna guess 55.
Okay.
He flew a few people's heads when he was old.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the scariest guy ever.
The Mike Jones KO was at the very end of the 11th.
Okay, all right, right before the 12th.
Very 252 of the 11th.
Yo, Mike Jones, no disrespect. I'm not trying. I'm not laughing at you. I'm just Randall Bailey is. I don't know. I gotta get some merch.
He fought once, he was 26-0 going into that Randall Bailey fight. Was winning that fight, got his head flown, came back against a kid named Jamie Herrera.
And lost that fight.
And it was an RTD.
Right, he quit, right?
Yeah. I don't remember. Or it was a cut, or he quit, or both. It was a cut that led to him quit, and then retired. And that, that's 10 years ago, and Mike's only 40 now. So at 30 years old, he was like, nah. So I think Randall,
oh my God.
20. Yeah, man. It's insane. All right. So if Jack Catterall, if this Jack Catterall looks good against, you know, an ex-champion, a guy that once was good, that's still hanging around, and he blitzes him, we'll say, all right.
Josh Taylor, you mean? Not Jack Catterall. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. All right, moving on. David Benavidez has declared that he will consider moving up to light heavyweight to challenge Dimitri Bivol if Canelo won't fight him at super middleweight quickly. I love Benavidez, Bivol.
I love it.
David Benavidez has stated that if rumors of Canelo versus Jaime Munguia in May are true, then he'll ask Al Haymon to fight Jermall Charlo around the same time so he can eliminate another potential opponent and give Canelo no choice but to face him in September. Look, there's lots of talk of the Jaime Munguia fight. This isn't in our list or your list. I don't want to get long-winded about it, but I want to ask you a question, and it's a simple one, okay? Mm-hmm. If Canelo fights Jaime Munguia in May, that's That's a bad drawing. That's a bad look. Hold on. But absolutely, it's locked in for Benavidez in September.
Then I don't
Are
care.
You okay with that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, because the murdering of Canelo I've seen for the possible Jaime Munguia fight, right? You can't write to every person, especially every idiot on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I want to write. But are you cool if September is Benavidez? Because we've talked about guys that fight often. There was the calendar year for
Yildirim when he fought Yildirim. He had to get the belt to unify.
But he had to get the belt to unify. Yeah. But it was like four guys in a year. And me and you were like, when you fight four times in a calendar year and there's one soft touch in there, it's way easier to digest. Rather than
if it's guaranteed to get Benavidez, what the fuck do I care? If he told me right now I'm not going to fight until September and I'm saying I'm fighting Benavidez, I wouldn't care.
But what I'm saying is, you and I talk about these fan bases that are psychotic. They're stupid. Floyd, Pacquiao, Canelo,
Spence,
the Charlos, PBC as a company, which we still
as a staff record label
and crew. fuck you too. Fuck you too. The Zone, fuck you too.
Fuck you too.
Top Rank, fuck you. So do you think these people murdering Canelo for this possible Jaime Munguia May fight are just, we used the word earlier, you and I don't use it a lot, for the sake of argument, just casual fans that don't understand that it's leading to something? Because I don't know why you'd have a problem with it if it leads to a monster in September. And that
because anything that this guy does, they're going to denigrate.
Okay, that's
much like anything that Floyd did, Pacquiao's fans took a shit on.
Agreed.
Anything Floyd did, Pacquiao's fans took a shit on. Anything. Pacquiao's fucking fans made me defend Floyd back then all the time. And it's like, I'm defending someone who I find atrocious.
It happens to me. I like Mike Tyson and his stance.
Me too.
Make me go, yo, he's not top 50. And too. I don't want to do that.
Right.
I loved Mike. Bro, who was more of an athlete to us than Tyson and Jordan?
Right.
They're hip-hop's first athletes, even though Mike Jordan didn't embrace it. Mike Tyson is hip-hop's first athlete and biggest athlete.
Right. Jordan, we embraced
him, but he wasn't about that. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm saying, like, Tyson had Tyson had a video game. He had the marketing. So
he came out to Welcome to the Terror Dome, bro. Yeah. What's more hard than that? Then time for some action. Then pop.
Time for some. Yeah, I mean,
it's harder than that. And Mike ran in the streets with hip hop dudes.
Right.
Uncle Al was like his man. He lived the Dapper Dance.
Right.
You know, Puerto Rican Jesus, like all those dudes. Alpo and Rich Porter. Like, Mike is hip hop. I don't want to do that, but I have to school you. But I tell you, like, his best win is probably Razor Ruddock and a 90-year-old Larry Holmes.
Right.
Like, do you want me to tell you that? I will. I can show you the data. You can't argue with me.
Can't argue with it.
It's not a sport where it's not the thing you can argue.
If you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, Tyson, the benefit of the doubt. He is partly a victim of his era. Secondly, he's a victim of himself going to jail, right? Then when he got out, he lost. He lost to his best contemporary twice.
Well, you're giving him even leeway there when you're saying if you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, because Lennox was around pre-jail. Riddick Bowe was around pre-jail.
So, I mean, Evander sort of.
Was around pre-jail.
I mean, he went to, when did he go to jail? In 93?
92.
He went to jail in 92.
Yeah.
Bro, those guys weren't really, really.
Or late 91, because he did 3.5, I think.
Right, and got out in 95, right?
95 and fought that October. Like, Peter say McMillan. He got out in like March, but you can't just fight against.
Fight, right.
They just say they build it all summer.
So
I want to say he went in late 91.
Okay.
I said 92, but
yeah, so those guys weren't. The only guy that was there would have been Evander. Right. That after Buster Douglas, Evander Holyfield beat Buster Douglas. At that point, to fight him, those guys really the only guy. I mean, yeah, of course, Lennox, but I don't think anybody. Lennox is interesting because Lennox really didn't make a name for himself till like 93. Mike's timing going to jail was bad.
Really bad. Really
but,
bad.
But hang on. Hang on. But again, here's
good timing.
I think we'd have a much more. Okay, let's say Mike didn't go to jail. Right. And didn't go to jail. And in 92, 93, 94, fought and likely lost to at least two of the four guys we named.
Riddick Bowe fought Art Tucker, Pinklin Thomas, Smokin' Burt, Tyrell Biggs, Tony Tubbs, Bruce Seldon, and Elijah Tillery by the time Mike went to jail.
Wow. Okay.
And from Brooklyn.
Do you think they would have made that fight? Or they would have, like, two guys from Brooklyn, they would have, like, you know, marinate. I mean, I think it would have been more likely Mike was going to fight Evander Holyfield, right?
Yes, definitely. That was the fight that was supposed to be made when he got knocked out.
Right.
And then Evander ended up fighting Buster
Douglas, right. So Mike would have fought Evander Holyfield, right, after losing. By the way, he lost to Buster Douglas. He lost to Buster Douglas. I don't give a shit who his trainer was. I don't care that he's fucking 10 whores a day in Japan. I don't care about any of the excuses. You know, oh, it was because Cus died. It was because of this. It was because of that.
Yeah.
He still lost.
Yeah.
Look, guys experienced personal tragedy. He got beat up. Buster Douglas's mom died.
Mom died. Exactly. So what's more of a personal tragedy than that?
Right. Sorry. I'm sorry to, you know, to tell you Santa Claus ain't real, but this is it. So, all right. Anyway, we can do a whole show on that.
Yeah, we can. Lennox was 18-0 and had just beat Tyrell Biggs around the time Mike went away.
So Mike, it would give him, let's say, another 18 to 24 months, right?
Yeah, and he would have been in jail when that would have happened.
So,
then.
But what I'm saying is, had he not gone to jail, then let's just hypothetically go, Mike doesn't go to jail. Look who he has to fight.
Yeah.
Either way, it's A, going to be a shorter career if he had to fight all four of those guys.
Riddick Bowe.
And likely had to fight
Lennox Lewis
after getting knocked out by Buster Douglas.
Right.
And so he'd have to either then fight Buster Douglas again. Right.
You could throw a guy who, had a bad chin, but a crazy punch. Tommy Morrison in there could have been a tough fight until he got knocked out by Mike. You know what I mean?
Who knows? And we're not even talking about like Ray Mercer's, you know, any of the other, let's hypothetically say, B-plus guys that were. Heavyweight division was a fucking insane early 90s. It was nuts. Absolutely. While Mike Tyson was in jail, it was crazy.
Absolutely. Michael Mora,
right.
Southpaw with some pop.
Foreman.
That could box, yes. What would that have looked like? You know what I mean?
Right. So, all right. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we made our point that if Mike Tyson didn't, we're going to get killed on this fucking podcast.
If
Mike Tyson did, jail saved Mike Tyson and lengthened his career. Boom,
yes.
I said it.
Yes.
If Mike Tyson didn't go.
It's still not a brilliant career.
No, if Mike Tyson doesn't go to jail, he is retired in 1996.
I say by 98, that's his last fight.
Right. I'm with you.
Vasyl Lomachenko, George Kambosos Jr., close to finalizing the event deal for the fight to take place in Australia. I don't know how this guy.
Now, is this dipshit Kambosos have like 19 rematch clauses on his home turf?
I don't know.
Okay.
April 13th / 14th, because they're in the future. Right. 13th / 14th for the IBF lightweight world title.
Are we flying out for that one?
Sure.
All right.
That's the worst flight you'll ever take in your life.
Everybody says that.
Commit suicide by the time you get there. the way my mind's working after Lomachenko beats him up in his home country, what's happening next? Because Haney's permanently gone.
Mm-hmm.
All the belts will be up for grabs. Well, they are now.
They are.
Realistically,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What does Loma do then? I'd like to see him beat him up. And then two more big fights and
well
two, three big
we're gonna get a Loma Shakur fight probably. top rank, 135 pounds. I'm thinking that's what happens.
So that could be summer or
next year,
fall. Summer or fall after this. So yeah. this is in April. So late summer, meaning August or September.
Yeah.
Shakur Lomachenko.
That's what I'm thinking.
Eddie Hearn has confirmed that he expects to finalize Chris Eubank Jr. versus Conor Benn for February 3rd at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. He insisted the fight is not done yet, but said Benn is ready to sign. Don't read the rest of it. Okay, moving on. Al Heyman's PBC reportedly now very, very close to a boxing broadcast deal with Amazon Prime after Showtime leaves the sport. Something funny that I saw today, they put up an ad for Tank Isaac Cruz rematch, professional flyer made by PBC, posted it for Amazon Prime, and Tank responded, "What the fuck is this?" So that's I don't know.
His Twitter is growing.
He's getting wacky. Yeah. Bro. I don't know if he's smoking, drinking, but he's getting wacky.
He said he quit drinking.
The Ryan Garcia fight, as he wins, he posts a picture of Garcia down on the knee from the body shot.
Yeah.
He posted something else funny.
Yeah. Right. He said something like to Haney. He's like, "That's why you my son."
Yeah.
So
he him writing, like, I'm telling you, like, what, you know how fans make posters and stuff?
Yeah.
This was posted by them.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his drawing was like, "What the fuck is this?" So
I thought that deal was off.
It was on, then it was off, then it was on, then it was off. I think the knock him out the box objection to that fight is why it was off.
Yeah.
Now, if they're going against us, you'll see that when you go against this podcast, it's mush.
It's mush. That Isaac Cruz stinks.
It'll be pay-per-view. It's going to sell 75 pay-per-views.
It's going to go wood.
The undercard is going to be the drizzling shits.
This shit's going aluminum foil.
Yes, they better be. If they're as smart as they say they are, and all those fucking stands of that fucking promotional unit, they better fucking stack that card.
It's on Amazon.
I know.
I still don't. This is. Anyway, okay. All right.
Eddie Hearn has declared that he now believes it's very likely AJ and Wilder will get made if AJ beats Otto Wallin and Wilder beats Joseph Parker on the 23rd in Saudi. Eddie says this: that fight is the biggest fight in boxing. It's not, but it's big.
Okay.
It's big. I'm curious. I have a question for you.
Sure. Sure.
Who is more likely to get upset on the 23rd?
AJ. That's what I was going to ask you, you silly goose.
So Otto Wallin has a better shot at beating Anthony Joshua than Joseph Parker does of beating Wilder.
Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think Joseph Parker stinks. And I think that he's got a ton of defensive holes. I think that his come-forward style is definitely tailor-made for Wilder. I think he's another guy who's been in a bunch of wars. Chin isn't what it was. Blah, blah, blah. I think Wilder knocks him out quick. Makes quick work of him, maybe 3 to 4 rounds. Wallin is much more dangerous, and Anthony Joshua is completely insane.
Otto Wallin, he could fight a little bit.
Yeah, he's good.
Joe Joyce stopped Parker late in the 11th. I remember that fight. I don't remember the end. I vaguely remember the ref coming in.
Yeah, this was when Joe Joyce jumped around like, "I'm a juggernaut." After the fight.
Yeah. Look.
Well, I don't understand how they don't have Big Bang Zhang on this fucking.
That's, I agree. But they do have fucking.
That's my guy. That's my guy.
It is your guy. It's my guy, too.
Big Bang Zhang.
I'm flipping a coin if you say to me, who's more liable to get upset? If Joseph Parker fought Deontay Wilder when Hellenius fought him, I think he would have flew his head. I think Parker would have flew Deontay Wilder's head if Deontay Wilder's comeback fight was Joseph Parker instead of Robert Hellenius.
So, all right.
I have nothing to support that I'm wrong about Wilder being damaged goods after what that bozo Hellenius did. There was no resistance. The whole time I'm saying, I think Wilder's going to come back and lose to a bum on his comeback fight. They're going to put him in against a soft touch, and he's going to lose to him.
Right. Well,
part of my thinking was that the bum was going to box.
Do something, box a little
bit. The bum was going to participate in the sport.
He chose not to.
He chose not to.
He chose, I don't know. It was loud.
Jaime Munguia will face John Ryder in a super middleweight clash. Yeah. January 22nd in Arizona. That could be a bloodbath. They both stink.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, Ryder might win this fight.
I don't have any problem with that pick. I'm not going to make it now because we have about a month to make our pick. But
there's a strong possibility that we see a career derailment with Munguia in that fight. This is his third weight class. And then that
knocks off Canelo for May.
Correct.
You know, an upset special is already potentially being called by the left, right, left kid.
That's it.
All right, we're at the end here. This is another one to really rile you up. DAZN USA pay per view price for Devin Haney versus Regis Progre on Saturday night will be $59.99 for DAZN subscribers. So
this shit is hot diarrhea. You know that? And I still haven't canceled this fucking DAZN. I keep forgetting to cancel it.
$74.99 to buy as a one-off pay-per-view. You know, just through your cable system or something. So you're a fan that's not... Look, if you're a fan of the sport, you probably have DAZN. If you're not, who's paying $75?
No one. This is... Eddie, what the fuck? Go talk to your fucking people over at DAZN. This is a fucking nightmare.
What are these guys? You know these guys' purses, B? I mean, what the fuck? Last, certainly not least, Jaime Munguia, Jermall Charlo, and Bud Crawford are potential opponents for Canelo Alvarez in May, with David Benavidez a potential opponent for Canelo in September. And if that is the case, I don't care who the first guy is.
I don't care who it is. Pardon me.
Anyway. Speaking of David Benavidez,
let's talk
about Benavidez, Boo Boo Andrade, who in 57 episodes of this show, we said when someone real decides to go, you know, this guy's been fucking saying everyone's ducking him this whole fucking time. Meanwhile, no one's ducking him. He's boring as shit, and he's not a name, and there's no bag in fighting him. But I'll fight him. As soon as a real guy says that, he's getting flocked. What happened to Boo Boo Andre?
He got his ass beat.
Mr. Long. That was a fuck. That's an ass. That is.
And by the way, he quit.
Down. Yes. Let's not forget that.
He quit.
That is a beatdown that we'd be talking about way more if Bud and the Monster Inouye didn't put on the destructive performances they did
earlier in the year.
It knocks this down as a destructive performance against the real guy. Because what is it? I can't believe it actually happened. Because you and I always say, what are the excuses going to be when X happens? Because there can't be.
Right.
Yet they still come. So when I cooked Boo Boo and said, this is what I told you would happen. Right. When anyone at 54, 60, or 68 fought him, it was all he was too small.
Right.
And I didn't think it was possible for that to happen.
Okay. So let me start. I've been waiting to unpack this for a couple weeks now.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let me give everybody, because I've been going back and forth with friends who are involved in the sport. I had knowledgeable people. Some would argue some of the best pundits in the game that I either spoke to.
You know, I think he's
I'm not even talking about him because I didn't talk to him about it.
Okay.
This is other people saying, Be prepared for an upset tonight. Boo Boo's going to give Benavidez hell. Knowledgeable people were picking Boo Boo to win this fight, be competitive in this fight, give Benavidez a run for his money, or beat him altogether.
Eric Kelly, the whole lead up to just absolutely Boo Boo. No hesitancy. No, none. Maybe this could happen, but no. My man Boo Boo, watch.
Right. They are living in a time capsule. Okay. That time capsule is from 2005, 2006. Boo Boo is a well-liked guy amongst boxing people. He's been around forever. He was a 14-year-old amateur dynamo winning national titles, right? Similar to David Benavidez, actually, that he was sparring pros. He was in every gym. Everyone's got a story sparring him. He ran people out of the gym. It's 2023. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's been a pro for 15 years.
Yeah.
This is the first belt holder he's ever fought.
Yeah.
So he's 0-1 against belt holders.
Yeah.
He is, by all accounts, I don't know him, Boo Boo Andrade.
Mm-hmm.
Andrade, right? Andrade.
I used to say Andrade when he turned pro. I knew him in the amateurs.
Yeah.
And when he turned pro, I said Andrade forever, but it's Andre.
He is, on a one-on-one basis, from all accounts, and this goes from people who are make a living off of boxing, and people, my very, very, and I've told you guys this in the past, I have very, very, very close connections with Providence, Rhode Island. Okay. In fact, every summer I share a summer house in Narragansett with my friends from Rhode Island. We are like family. Two of the guys from that group are friends with Demetrius Andrade as well. Mm-hmm. Every account of this guy is jovial, fun loving, nice, affable. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Humble. Okay. That should never influence your fucking pick in terms of what he's accomplished in the sport that we're trying to pick. Okay. I love that he's a great guy. I love that he's a fun guy. I love that he's got a great sense of humor, according to every single person that I've talked to. I don't know him personally, so I'm just going based on what my friends have told me. That can't influence a pick, especially against a guy like David Benavidez, who Demetrius Andrade is fighting two weight classes above where he turned pro, right? Which is very hard to do, against a guy who's very comfortable at 168 pounds and the only place he's ever fought.
I've been in the presence of David Benavidez. We spoke, you know, took the pick next to him. It's a big kid.
He's a big kid.
And this was when he was much younger, and he's still young. He's still a baby.
Demetrius Andrade is 6'1", okay? He was a bigger guy for 54, right? That's not your normal 154 pounder. That's not your normal middle.
No, he's, you know, I'm going to say he was huge for 54.
Huge
and big for 60.
And big for 60, right? And he's grown into, at 35 or however old he is.
Canelo's 5'9", guys, if you want to put any of this
right with lifts, you know. You know,
what was G? 5'9", 5'10" at middle?
5'10". Hagler's 5'9". You know, I mean, Ray Leonard was taller than Hagler.
Yeah. The strong guys, you know, big, strong guys. This kid's 6'1".
So right.
And he's not young, by the way.
He's not
so young. I don't want to hear that he wasn't big.
No.
We just talked about Regis Prograis at 35 being too small for 40.
Right.
Now we're going to say this guy's too big for 68.
But you have to pull away. You have to separate. To compartmentalize your friendship with someone, likability of someone, and what they're going to do. This all influences people who are pundits, people who are important to the sport,
of course, their picks.
But it shouldn't. You have to be honest about this, and it's very difficult in this spot, in this sport, I believe, for people to do that. With that said, all of the signs pointed to how this fight ended up. I was not surprised at all. The only thing that surprised me was that I thought Benavidez, who typically starts a little slower, you know, sometimes he starts slow. I thought he was going to get him in the 9th or 10th, but I thought from the 5th round on, it would just be pedal to the metal.
The style of beating surprised me a little bit. The outcome didn't. That destructive type Bud Spence beating. I'm not comparing them because it's to me, Bud Errol Spence is the most vicious beating ever against two champions in a championship. A huge unification.
At least that I've witnessed with two guys that fight was a pick'em.
Look, don't write me about a Joey Giordello fight either. I'm talking modern era. Don't write to me about Max Baer.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That we've witnessed, that you and I have looked at and seen. Yes,
because a lot of times that happens, man. You talk maybe about modern era. We might talk about, the greatest destructive puncher I ever saw was Julian Jackson. The best body puncher I ever saw was Mike McCallum. And then you're going to bring up, Fritzy Zivic. All right, man.
Bob Fitzsimmons was
he'd be 300 years old.
He flawed 14 men in one night. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
With the old alley-oop twister punch, right to the solar plexus.
Fritzy Zivic put him down with a bolo shot.
I think that these picks.
Can I say something to add, and then I'm going to shut up again? Everything you're saying is very Sean Porter-esque. He's been around for a million years. Everyone knew him since he was a kid. Everyone likes him.
In terms
of this, where he was placed on the pedestal.
Right.
And I'm sitting back going, what are you guys talking about?
Right, he's going to get his ass kicked.
This guy fights like he's a tailback.
Right.
His form is awful. His shots are wide.
Right.
He throws a shot and clinch it. What are you watching? And I remember you talking to me about it. You're like, bro, he's like known everyone since he's 10.
Right.
And the one thing about boxing, and I respect this part, but also harbor some animosity toward it. It's very much a fraternity and very Absolutely. Much like we're in and you're out. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
And I told you on this show, you can do that, but you better shut the fuck up about other things. Yes. I don't want to hear about you talking about music then.
Right.
Don't tell me this guy's the best rapper and, oh, this guy can't rhyme or that album sucks. No. So I don't have any pro fights, so I can't talk about this. But you can't even dance on beat, but you're telling me who the best. This shit has to go both ways, bro. And I talk about this with politics, too. Don't apply all this. Don't be from the far right and apply all this. But then it doesn't apply when that shit works against you.
Right.
You can do that. But then you don't be taught. Don't write fucking 6-page diatribes about a movie you just watched or an album you don't like or an XYZ. You know what I mean?
Either or like a director's choice in this, or yeah.
Sure.
I mean, only shut up and dribble then.
Yes. Shut up and dribble is that's what you want.
Right.
If that's what you want.
That's what you want.
What I'm this like you're not allowed to have an understanding of this has been proven incorrect so many times. I don't want to fucking go through all the names of guys who didn't have a pro fight. Do you? That were seen as brilliant boxing minds.
Right.
Do we need to do that still in 2023? Right.
It's insane. With that said, I'm not part of that fraternity, so maybe it's easier for me to pick. You know what I mean? But
it's anybody, why we're right more than them.
Right. Anybody who asked me, I said, this is going to be a fucking destruction. It's not going to be close. This is silly. And it was. Benavidez, again, he did what he does. What he said he was going to do, he did. This was like a continuation of the second half of the plant fight. He just moved right into this fight. He's clicking. He's 26.
You know when a rematch picks up where it left off?
Yeah.
This wasn't a rematch, but he just picked up a plant.
Precisely. So there's not much more we can really talk about it, right? I mean.
No, there isn't. I was just going to say to you, I got a word for you, B. Buzzsaw.
Buzzsaw.
I got a word, and I can't think of a guy of the higher weights this level of buzzsaw. Yeah, no. You want to talk about like Chocolatito better or guys down there. Yeah,
it's hit. It's better.
And Benavidez throws more punches than him.
Right.
You know,
it's better Biev and Benavidez, and no disrespect to better Biev, Benavidez stays healthy.
I'm really wondering, man, if we're watching this, a special fighter, not a great special fighter.
I think he's a special fighter. I think
you got to dance with the right people to prove that. We're going eye test. I think he's special.
Yeah,
the same way we have with Boots, bro. He still doesn't have a signature fight, and we sing his praises.
Hey, man, all it took for me was to see him live, to be ringside. I wasn't ringside. I was a little three rows.
No,
back.
I mean, I saw him ringside. I saw him, you know, I saw him in South Philly. There's something special there. You need a dance part. It's actually funny enough. We're discussing, are these two guys special because they need the right dance partner? And I saw them both live.
Right.
You know,
well, I mean, the one thing I will say this is at least Benavidez stays active.
He stays active, and you can argue that Caleb Plant and Andre are better than anyone.
Sure,
that Boots has been in there with.
And Boots last fought in July. It's now January.
I will say this, bro. The same way you said, I'm not making excuses. I'm just working an angle for Mike Tyson. I do think people actively want nothing to do with Boots, and I'm not talking about Bud. Bud has other business as a superstar now. Bud is now a boxing superstar. He's not like the old days where the lady walking down the street knew who he was. Within boxing, Bud Crawford's a superstar.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Bud has bigger fish to fry in terms of the bag. He's proved himself. Was the man at 140. Was the man at 147.
Yeah.
There is no, like, is this, you know.
Yeah.
So would I like to see Boots, Ennis, Terrence Bud Crawford in a perfect world, sure. As the fight leading up to a huge one, sure.
Right.
I don't want to see it. I'm not going to say that.
Of course.
I'm just saying Boots has guys' names on his lips that are, you know, it's basically where his head at right now is the bag of the remix to beat the shit out of Spence again. Mm-hmm. Or the wild one, which is Canelo. That's wild.
Right. Right.
That's wild to me. You're going back to Manny Pacquiao, where each time he moved up, we were going, oh, this is the one.
This is the one, right.
I mean, I thought Oscar, a shot, drained, old Oscar, was going to be the death of Manny Pacquiao.
So did I.
And he destroyed him. There was a part of me that was like, David Diaz might beat him at 35. A part of me. It wasn't as big as... wasn't as big as the Oscar thing. But I told my brother, like, should we even bother watching this? Now, it was rhetorical because, of course, I'm going to watch it. But I remember being like, this isn't going to be hard for Oscar, you know?
I remember Oscar was just standing there like,
Yeah, man. Yeah. And you can hate on me all you want now. Not you. The listeners, because hindsight is 2020, and it seems so obvious that was going to happen. Trust me, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Trust me.
No one picked it like that.
Yeah, and any of you guys that are younger, you won't remember. And if you're older, you will remember that it was like, this guy's nuts.
It's nuts. When was that? 2007?
That sounds about right.
2008? 2007?
I mean, whenever we do this, it just makes me feel older.
Like it was like in December, right?
December 6, 2008. So we're almost exactly 15 years.
It is.
As we're recording, guys.
Today's the 15th anniversary.
Today is the 15th anniversary, guys, as we're recording.
I knew the fight was in December. I remember that. I remember it was around Christmas time.
You know, I have like, what's it called? Rain Man. Yeah. And I had no memory of it being cold out.
Yeah, it was cold. I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, I just cannot.
So we'd love to see Benavidez versus, that's the one everyone wants to see, versus Canelo. I will say this, Jose Benavidez and Jermall Charlo on the undercard.
Oof.
Why was that the fucking co-feature? I mean, that should have been like the fourth fight down. By the way, I said this on Twitter, but those guys, they look like meth heads. I mean, those guys both look terrible. Absolutely terrible. Charlo is, I don't know what substances that he said he was abusing or struggling with, or his mental health or whatever, but he's like crying through every interview now. I mean,
the Fight Hub clip I sent you and said, look at this guy. And he had the Skeletor face.
Yeah.
And was slobbering and slurring.
Right.
We were both like, what is this? What is happening here?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
I know we're wrapping up and getting to the preview.
Yeah.
Real quick. I thought, okay, Mayweather retired undefeated. I think with the exception of Castillo, right?
Uh-huh.
Oscar fought Floyd the best, with the exception of Castillo, okay? I'll put that at one, Floyd's performance at two. Okay, mm-hmm. I believe it was a split decision.
Yeah.
And if he didn't abandon that jab, he had a shot at winning.
Right.
That was only two fights before that Pacquiao obliteration. After that, he fought Stevie Forbes, and he fought Pacquiao.
Yeah, he fought Steve Forbes. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was a rough. That was a bad job.
Like Steve Forbes, like a lightweight.
I love Steve Forbes. Yeah. I love Steve Forbes.
2 pounds. Yeah.
35.
Right.
It was like where Steve Forbes did some great.
And he fought him at 54. Yeah, that was like a disservice.
But I'm just saying.
Didn't Steve Forbes break his orbital too? I thought Steve Forbes broke his face in that fight, Oscar.
He broke Oscar's or Steve Forbes broke his own orbital? What do you mean?
I thought Steve Forbes hurt Oscar, not hurt him like where Oscar showed he was hurt. I think it came out afterwards that like Steve, I thought I could be, I should, I don't know. Shut the fuck up.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
But Steve Forbes fought as recently as 2019, which is in fucking insane.
Jesus Christ.
And by the way, by the way, he's only 46. If you put a gun to my head, I'd say 55. I'm putting 10 55. Years on everybody.
Right.
Who
Jesus
did I do
Christ.
Earlier? Randall Bailey.
Got to get some Randall Bailey merch.
We do. I mean, there was, look, man, there was a run where he lost a lot of.
That's what I'm saying. Did he lose like eight?
No, because they're broken up. Remember he beat Bajardo when Bajardo was like,
yeah,
you know, Panchito Bajardo. Was like they were pushing him as the next Oscar.
Look at this, bro. He lost
Grady Brewer, Demetrius Hoskins. Then he beats Fajardo. Then he loses to Oscar, loses to Berto. Then he beats Jason Davis. Then he loses to Harrison Cuello. Then he beats Roberto Valenzuela. Then he loses to Jojo Dan, Kareem Mayfield, Jesse Vargas, Johan Perez, Emmanuel Arte, and Antonio Orozco.
Tell Brooke fucking destroyed Jojo Dan.
Six, yes, he did. Six. Hard name, Jojo Dan.
Jojo Dan, yeah.
Hard.
Jojo Dan, yeah. All right. So we got...
Well...
Did you watch Ryan Garcia?
Ryan Garcia, Duarte. Look, this is what I can say, man. I'm watching it. I'm texting you. I've never seen someone see a lot of times on this show. If we say I've never seen someone black, we don't mean anyone like a dude fighting at the Y. I mean, when I say I've never seen someone, I mean someone that's either considered to be elite or high level, you know, world class guy. How's that better than saying elite or
right.
A world class guy? If I ever say I've never seen blank, I'm always talking about it in relation to being world class. I've never seen a guy do something, and everything he does, I see the open counter.
Right.
Everything.
Terrible defense.
It's the pits.
He's so defensively irresponsible
than he is. Can I just put that on here? And like on Howard Stern, when someone would say something and they would take the clip and keep using it. I want that on my gravestone of boxing. Ryan Garcia is fast, but Ryan Garcia thinks he's way faster than he is. And he thinks he has that prime Roy, I can't be clipped speed. And Roy only got clipped when that went.
Right.
He was that fast. He was that fast and athletic. Ryan Garcia thinks Ryan Garcia is younger Adrian Broner fast, which is fast.
Right.
It's fast. Duarte is like, bro, he was catching him. He was clipping him.
If he went to the body. But
if he set it up with more body work, there were little spurts, little pieces. There was enough spurts in there where I was right. This guy is open to any counter. And I'm talking about being in there against guys who aren't known as counterpunchers. What is Oscar Duarte, Juan Manuel Marquez? No.
Well, the way that they were hyping up Duarte is like, wow, this is a real tough fight for him. And it is. Well,
it is.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, he could crack a little and then you dig deeper. Who did he beat?
Right.
Who is he in there with? Where is he fighting?
Right.
Are 85% of his fights in Managua or something?
Right.
You always say it, man. It's something you bring to this show and remind our listeners is matchmaking and the importance of it and how things look, optics. Yo, this guy has one loss, wasn't stopped, and a ton of KOs. It looks great.
Right.
Oh, Ryan Garcia's last four opponents are 120-3.
Right.
The optics of that are crazy. And then you go, oh, the guy drives lift.
Right.
And I'm not saying that about Duarte.
Yeah, Duarte. Right.
Particularly. I'm just saying what you talk about. Why are matchmakers there? Why do they get paid really well? Not well, really well. So on paper, he's fighting a guy with one loss, wasn't stopped. And can punch like a mule.
Bang. Yeah.
Oh, he's and this is coming off of a fight with Tank Davis. This is no gimme. This is no da da da. And it wasn't. Was there a part of me that thought this kid could get clipped? There is because I think he's chinny. And I think that if he ends up retiring with five losses, he'll be one of those dudes where all five were knockouts.
Well, let's not even before we even discuss chinny. I think I also tweeted this, so if you follow me, you saw it. He's very uncomfortable being in the line of fire, more so than a guy at this level we're used to seeing. He is, if you're busy while he's in the pocket, his whole game is thrown off. His whole mental game is thrown off. And anybody better than Duarte, in my opinion, will beat him. I don't think we ever see Ryan Garcia. And I don't want to spend too much time on this fight.
Neither do I. I'm going to read my tweet to sum it up so we don't spend too much time. Because we both have the same feeling.
Right. I don't think he ever wins a world title, to be honest with you.
Hold on. A real one? Like, you don't think he beat Raleigh? Because that's probably
That's going to be for a world title?
Doesn't Raleigh have a trinket when he lost to that old man and they saved him? That 409-year-old dude was for a trinket, wasn't it?
Is that for a real belt, though, or is that like one of the interim?
That's what I'm asking you. Yeah.
Ming, I don't know.
Ming.
I also think that anybody above the Duarte-Roley
level,
he loses.
He's food.
Right.
Can you imagine being around that weight, B? 35, 40, 47, because he's a tall kid. He'll keep moving up. He's like Oscar.
Right.
Imagine being really good and anywhere around him. You're licking your chops that fight.
Absolutely.
You know? Imagine me and you are young and around that weight. We're elbowing each other.
I'm questioning this kid's heart right now, right here on this show.
All right.
I don't think he's got too much of it.
All right. I want to feed off that. I'm just reading these two tweets because, like you said, we don't want to spend too much time on it. Nothing easier to do than read what I already said to the Nation. Think of every possible counter you could throw. Ryan Garcia is open to get hit with every one of them. I'm not sure I've ever seen anything like it. Anyone with great timing will spark him clean out. And then this is before the knockout. Duarte fighting smart by roughing him up, hitting the arms, elbows, anything in front of him. Garcia isn't built like that. Hates pressure and anyone that roughs him up. He's already looking to the ref to help him. Garcia is obviously winning, but you're seeing the fragility. So what could I say more
right.
to go off what you just said? I basically said the same thing you just said.
Right. This is my, I found my tweet. I said, Ryan Garcia is a front runner who's clearly uncomfortable being in the line of fire. He's so obviously uncomfortable. He was turning his back to his opponent like a guy sparring for the first time. Very strange, to say the least. When he started
Before we go into our preview.
Right.
Great. Thank you for bringing that up. Again, never seen anything like it in my life.
Bizarre.
Never seen anything like it. Remember when we were younger, they would televise Tough Man contests?
Yeah, that's what it looked like, yes.
That's how dudes who are about to get lit up would turn.
Because it's your natural instinct.
It's your instinct to do that.
You fight, becoming...
Fight or flight, and you're a boxer.
And you're a boxer. So your natural instinct is to turn your back and protect your brain and your organs. Mm-hmm. Right, that's what you have a rib cage for, right?
It's essentially
your underbelly is
your natural instinct,
right? Your underbelly is open, right? So what boxing does is you go against instinct to stay in the line of fire and be comfortable being uncomfortable. Okay, he is not comfortable, and to me, that is a sign of not enough sparring. So it means they're either stopping sparring, okay, when they're ending sparring when it gets tough for him. He's right. not sparring enough, and he's not training the right way. I seen a Bozo tweet that said his team is doing him wrong. Okay, I bit my proverbial tongue to not do this person and go, his team's doing him wrong. Oscar's gotten him the Garcias.
Goosen,
and now Derek James is a fucking trainer. Blow me that anybody's handling him wrong.
And got him a tank fight for how?
And he got him a tank fight, right? And he got him this showcase, and he's gotten him on. Shut the fuck up. His team's doing him wrong. This kid gets a lot of fucking preferential treatment, and he's just not that good.
And he's not likable.
No, and he may be naturally talented. He may be naturally talented.
I mean, there's stuff going on there you can't teach, B. Like the stupid Instagram things of the speed. Yeah, you're fast. He's got power. We just know those Marvin Hagler types who get up an hour early, stay an hour late.
He's not them.
Those dudes will beat these type of dudes.
Yes.
Because all of that means nothing, bro. It's like the dudes we knew who were incredible rappers but couldn't get off the block.
Yeah,
you're late to the studio.
Right.
I don't mean to get off topic, but Juicy J, you know, 36 Mafia, I'm reading his book, and he's like, do you know why it was just me and Paul on those songs? Because we told people 9 o'clock and nobody showed up.
Showed up.
So where on the hits? And no one showed up for sipping on some scissor. So I called Pimp C and Bun B. But this one, were scheduled to be on that song because they lived in the studio. So they're on the songs that won the Grammy. You're at the gym. You're listening to the trainer. Instead, you're going, no, the trainer's wrong. I'm on my fourth trainer in my fifth fight or whatever it is. It's close. Right. It's close to that. I know he's had at least four trainers.
Four trainers, right.
He was with Eddie Reynoso. He was with...
Oh, and the Reynosos. Oh, my God.
He was with the Reynosos.
Reynosos,
now
Goosen.
He's with Derek James, Goosen, and you named the other one.
Robert Garcia.
So there's the four.
All trainers of the year.
And all trainers of champions, world-class elite guys, I'll go as far as saying.
Right.
But it's them. It's them, right. D. It's not him. It's not accountability. It's not laziness. It's not. And before we move on, yo, man, I'm getting tired as someone who struggled with it their whole lives. Everything now when shit crumbles is I'm having mental health issues.
Yeah.
Bro. And by the way, I'm not saying that no one has them because there's been some great Oliver McCall, Ike Iwobi, these are guys who had serious issues. But I'm saying it's morphed into a trend where it's like shit isn't going well. That's my mental health. It's like,
right.
No, you're just not a good guy, and you're not, you know,
right. It's a crutch.
It's a crutch. Yo, let me see. Were you diagnosed by someone? No, no.
Right.
You didn't see someone.
Right. Exactly. Stop with the self-diagnosis of
yes.
And being down for a couple of days is not being depressed. Okay. Being down, feeling blue, that's not being depressed.
It's being a human.
It's being a human. Not everything is going to be, you know, fucking sunshine and roses all the time. But if you can't, when it's time for it to be sunshine and roses and you still feel blue and you still feel down and you can't get out of that funk, then there's an issue there. Yeah. And again, I don't want to cheapen or not cheapen, but I don't want to harp on that because people do suffer and I don't want people to feel like we're attacking them.
I do. Right. So I feel like I could say that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm just saying some people do that. Some people are dealing with it. But some right. people, I saw, you know,
no, it's become
Tank runs people over and gets jail time and fines, and he's sad because of
mental health.
No, you just ran people
over. Well, again, to your point, and I think I made this point like a year ago. On what mental health issue do you have? Is it paranoid schizophrenia?
Right?
Are you clinically depressed? Are you? But yeah. Right.
Yeah. What, you know, are you? Yeah. Do you have narcissistic personality disorder?
Right.
Like, what tell me the diagnosis. So right. I'm all ears.
Right.
All and right.
If
listen.
If you're borderline personality, then you just got to go because you're unfixable. So
you're unfixable. What's the name of the drone on the island? It was the biggest.
Oh, Pilgrim State.
Yeah. Pilgrim State.
Pilgrim State. We had four of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Pilgrim State. Pilgrim State was the biggest one. 13,000
beds.
Isn't
it like the size of a town, basically?
It's all of Brentwood. Yeah, it's like it's. I showed you pictures when I drive through, right?
You sent me the Wikipedia, and it was mad interesting.
Yeah, I don't want to talk too much about it because half my family at one point or another worked there. So, but there was four of them, and you guys can all look it up. There was Edgewood Psych Center, Kings Park Psych Center, Pilgrim, which is still open, by the way. It doesn't have 13,000 beds anymore. And there was Central Islip Psych Center. And they were all within 3-4 miles of each other.
You should have been put in there.
Who says I haven't?
Well played.
Yeah.
All right, look, before we do this, before we get into this, well, I'm going to start it off. Are you excited about this, right?
No, because it's okay. $1 million. And okay. I got some, and I'm actually not going to be able to watch it live. On Saturday, we have a ton of stuff to do. My father-in-law's 80th birthday party. So we will not be tuning in unless I can.
What you will be doing is
hang on.
Pernil.
Well, no, we're probably going out for Italian. He's Italian. My father-in-law's Italian.
Oh, right. Right. Yeah. Right. Your father-in-law's Rican.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My father-in-law's Italian, so we're going out for Italian food in Brooklyn.
Oh, Minkia. So you are not excited about this fight.
I may watch on my phone.
All right. What we're talking about, guys, is Devin Haney, Regis Ruguru, Progray. B and I were very, very, very high on Regis Progray a few years back. What has happened since then? Well, most recently, a really uninspired performance.
Yeah.
Historically speaking, I'd go as far as saying 50-50, B, that can be good. 50%, it could be terrible. Sometimes it's a sign of things to come.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's an off night and the guy fights to his competition.
Yeah.
Which some guys do, and you and I can't understand it, but they do it, and they do it actively. There's a lot of guys you and I like to just fight to their competition. They can't get up for guys.
Last year, they can't get up for regular guys. Right. Last year around this time, he looked good against Jose Zepeda.
That's what I meant. That's the fight. Can you name everything post from Josh Taylor on, please?
Yes. He fought Juan Geraldez.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He fought.
Knockout. Win.
TKO.
Okay.
He fought. Even Ivan Redcatch,
yes,
that was a TKO in the sixth. Mm-hmm. Let me look up though, Because every time it's a red catch fight, I got to look up. Red catch was unable to, it's accidental foul. Mm-hmm. It was a TD, and then they changed it to a TKO for Prograin because they figured out red catch was faking it.
Okay.
Then he fought Tyrone McKenna, which no one understood why he fought that fight. That was over in the UK. Again, TKO, but McKenna is really like a, he's like a C-level fighter.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tyrone. Then he fought Jose Zepeda. He looked good. Then looked like not good against Danielito Zorrilla. And here we are.
Did he stop Zepeda?
Yes, in the 11th. It was a KO.
Now I remember it.
Yeah.
Zepeda can fight a little bit.
Zepeda can fight, yeah. He had those like big, which I hate, those big puffy white gloves on. Mm-hmm. So again, whenever these guys wear those TV-wise, it doesn't look good for us. Also, I don't understand why they wear them because the eye picks up white. And any trainer will tell you that it's easier to defend a guy wearing white boxing gloves.
Well, anyway, they're like big pillows coming
at you. Yeah, and you can see them. So you get out of the way.
Well, talk to me about what's going to happen.
Okay. Haney's got him on height and reach. Okay. And at this point, he's got him on speed. I think Haney's going to keep him at the end of his jab. Ruguru has notoriously short arms. Let me see. I'm actually going to go into the, he's a 4-inch reach differential. It says they're the same height, but I think Haney's taller. Says they're
you
both.
You know how 5'8". That goes, man. From sick, from Georgetown University.
Allen Iverson.
6 foot tall, Allen Iverson. Yeah. I stood next to him.
Right. Me too. He ain't 6 foot. So I have a feeling Haney, it's going to be a typical Haney performance. Jab, jab, jab. He'll mix in the cross. Jab, jab, jab. Circle, jab, jab, jab. And I think the jab is going to frustrate a guy who's on the decline in Ruguru. I don't think Ruguru is going to be able to get off. What I'm going to do is Haney does a good job of disrupting you with that jab. So every time Ruguru is going to try to set up, Haney will throw the jab, double it up, triple it up, change speed on it. And I think we're just going to see a lot of rinse and repeat of that. If you remember the Haney, Linares fight, or even trying to think what other Haney fight, but Haney did get caught in that fight, but did a good job of disrupting Linares. Anytime Linares tried to rattle off, you know, a combination, which Ruguru is a combination puncher too, not the same skill level in terms of offense as Linares, but he is a combination puncher. And when he puts his combinations together, it's when he's dangerous. I think Haney's going to do enough to stay out of the pocket, have enough reach to touch him from keep him at mid range and just keep him at the end of that stick. And I think we'll see that over the course of 12. I think the fight goes 12. And I think that's where we will see Haney showcase a bit in terms of his debut at 140 pounds. I believe he's going to look good against an aging Ruguru. Vinny.
I think he picks and pecks from the outside. I think mm-hmm. it looks similar to the way that he fought Kambosos.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Ruguru's a bit bigger. I throw... Look, this saying isn't used until late in fights that aren't winnable. And that saying is throw caution to the wind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm throwing caution to the wind off rip if I'm Ruguru.
Mm.
That's not part of a pick. It's just what I would think.
Right.
All the things you said, yes, because everything you said is true. He's aging. We mm-hmm. think he might be on the downcline. If the last performance is any indication, he's mm-hmm. definitely on the downcline. Or was it a fluke? We don't know yet. Let's assume he is. All the things you laid out, the way to combat them is... Haney can't punch. I'm not getting caught up in the fact that he's got mm-hmm. some pop. No, he's got pillow fists.
And it's gonna be less as he moves up, unless
correct.
Unless there's a little juice in his cup.
Yes, unless he's taking some vitamin C, vitamin B.
But
you know,
B,
which he might have taken some vitamin B. I don't know. look, if you decide that this guy's got nothing, he's got no mustard on his shots, you can walk through him. You know, you're going to eat some shots on the way in. But I don't think it's impossible to get in with a double jab, eat a shot, double jab your way in. No, you're going to eat a shot even with the jab. Just try to slip that cross you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I would just focus on slipping the cross. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to throw the two jabs in the cross. Jab with him.
It's basic, yeah.
It's basic. I would jab with him, maybe eat the cross and get inside. And then start banging long. Look, his frame is long. He's got that, you know, there's a lot to work with as far as where to go to the body. Mm-hmm. I go to the body and I try to walk through shots and step into the fire. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Again, caution to the wind. That's not something you want to hear from a trainer. You usually hear that in the 12th when there's nothing to lose. I'm using it because I'm saying nothing to lose with everything you just said. This kid can pick and peck and stink it out like he did. They're unwatchable. The two
Kambosos fights. Yeah.
Unwatchable. They're unwatchable. If this guy is okay, well, he has to be okay with putting on a Shakur-esque performance, throwing 15, 17 punches around, most of them jabs, come back with the cross to keep him honest. And Regis is okay with that. We think he's a goon. And that's where I'm like, if that goon comes out, I think he could clip him with a right hook.
Hmm.
I think he can clip. I've seen Devin Haney's left hand low.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And Regis Prograis sits down on a nice short right hook, but he's got to get inside.
Got to get inside.
It's not from the outside, because you said he's got alligator on.
Right.
He's not going to be out. He's not going to be able to stand there while they're at Haney's range and throw that hook. He's got to get inside. A lot of this stuff we spoke about with Ryan Garcia, I don't know. I don't know what. First off, Lomachenko touched him up.
Yeah.
And that's lightweight power. You know what I'm saying? And Loma's not a puncher. If he gets inside and lands that right hook, I know that he's chinny, bro. I said a while ago on this show, a couple times critiquing Haney, it's been long enough where I could tell the story a little bit more because it's harder to trace back to the person because time does that. He, in sparring with Keandre Gibson, who's not a puncher, had Devin Haney out, smelling salts out, and he's not a puncher. Jorge Linares had him on quick.
Yeah, walked to the wrong corner,
and the walk and the round ended.
Yeah,
you're not tell the same way. I've seen Ryan Garcia badly hurt twice, Luke Campbell and Tank.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen I wasn't there, so I didn't see it. I've seen him hurt with my eyes once against Linares. And someone I trust with my life saw him drooling on himself.
Right. I think also him moving up to 40, to your point, hey, there could be something interesting here. So it could be wishful thinking, but this is another weight class. This is a bigger, you know, it's a bigger guy. I think the biggest jump is really from when these guys get into welterweight.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I think
that's
like
when you start fighting men.
Right. So it's a more comfortable
man strength dudes.
It's a more comfortable 35 into 40 is much more comfortable than say 40 into 47. You know,
absolutely.
And again, 47 into 54 guys can kind of teeter on that.
But when 47 to 60 is crazy.
It's a different world. Right. That's just my opinion.
I had to cut either one of them, you know.
Right. So if guys want to write in and tell me I'm full of shit, go ahead.
I think he picks and pecks and most likely wins in a performance similar to that of the Kambosos performances. I think there's a higher chance than you do of him getting sparked.
I'm hoping you're right and I'm hoping I'm wrong. And I think that again, matchmaking, right? Notwithstanding. Mm-hmm. And also carefully choosing this fight at this time while vacating all of your belts. This is a careful choice. I hope this ends in an upset. I really like Regis Prograis. I love his story. He's a Katrina guy, moved to Houston, started boxing post Katrina when he moved to Houston, originally New Orleans guy. So of course I root for guys like that. That's a that kid's had a tough go of
tough
it.
Tough go of things, yeah.
You know.
Look, man, one more percentage this way, and I'm calling a Pazzi upset special, but I just can't do it.
Okay.
I think if he who was it? Danielito Zorrilla was the last fight that he stunk out.
Yeah.
I think if he blitzed him, I'm going Regis by KO.
Right.
But, you know, Danielito Zorrilla tried to box, tried to be a cutie and all of that. And that's like sort of what Devin does. So if that guy survived, lost, but if that guy survived, Devin just does that better. He just does that, but better.
I think the whole pandemic, too, has us somewhat nostalgic towards versions of guys we've seen. Because like you and I,
from 2019.
Right. Because, you know, we all lost 4 years of our life here.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've been doing the show going on 3 years already.
Yeah, I can tell you that this fight happens then. I'm like Rugal's.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You know, all of the things that a lot of the things we're saying Devin is going to do, you and I would say, well, Ruger wouldn't allow that
right,
at
right.
30, at 28, 29, 30. And the guy that fought Josh Taylor and boxed with a boxer and banged with a banger and was able to acclimate.
Right.
Can you acclimate at 35 to a guy who has quick double jab? You know, he's quick. It's not this lightning speed that everyone thinks all these kids have. You know what I mean?
He's fast enough. He's serviceable.
He has serviceable speed. He's very rangy, which is really tough to fight, man.
Sure.
It's really tough to fight. And then what you're adding is data. He's got a short reach. He's not tall. He's sure he's got to get inside. He has to walk through some shit. To land that shit, that right hook on the inside will swat him clean out. Can he get there? That's the question. That's what you guys should be looking for, because what you're going to be seeing is double jab right cross, double jab right.
Well, yeah,
cross,
I mean
double jab right cross.
And again, this is an orthodox versus southpaw guy, so you're going to see, you know, Haney circling to Haney's left.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Left.
To his own left, to stay away from Ruguru's left,
right?
You know,
but
and he's
gonna walk him into a right,
right,
hook.
Right, and trying to land his own right hand.
The thing with me is him doing that, and you're right because we're talking southpaw, you know, versus orthodox. Yeah. In a weird way, he might be walking himself into that shot.
I hope so.
Because the way he's circling,
we're
allowed to do that, bro, because we don't attach ourselves to any promotional team.
Right.
You know, that's why people dig the show. Bro, Regis doesn't have great head movement.
He bends at the waist nicely. You know what I mean? He bobs in.
If he can slip some of them and come up with that right hook, if he can slip.
Well, that's exactly what he does, Vin. That's how he fights. You know, it's slip, slip, and then he pops up.
Take the two jabs on purpose. Eat them. Right cross. Slip that. Come up with your own right hook. You know the jab's coming. Depending on how and when you slip the two jabs, then the right cross is going to be there. So just let him touch you with them. Let him touch, because don't let him upset your rhythm. Slip. You know, it's not he does dip at the waist. I meant specific head movement, James Hardy wise. That's not there. That shit where James makes you miss right there with strictly the you know, neck strength and up here. No, he does dip nicely like this at the waist and come up, but if he pops him with that right, that's there. You know, but he has to create that and allow it to happen. No, all right, he has to know what we both know. His trainer has to know that Devin's going to be moving to his left.
Right.
So a right hook walks into that shot, but can he get inside? Can he get in there? Will he let his nuts hang? Or is he like, I'm 35. This is my biggest payday. I'm assuming it's a bigger payday than Josh Taylor. No.
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, pay-per-view, bro.
Yeah. This is it's got to be.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Right.
You know, as part of that being, you know, you start hitting that age, you start saying, This is me and you always say on the show when you talk about your retiring, your child, you're done. You know, I haven't heard him talk about retiring. But what I'm saying is he saying, let's just say it's 3 to 5 mil, something like that, maybe more. I don't know, maybe less.
Well, I wouldn't say it's even that much. I'm thinking.
You don't think he's getting $3 million on a pay per view?
Haney
or just
is.
The back end. Yeah. I would say Haney's getting like 6 or 7.
Can
you look
know,
up
man.
The purses and I'll talk?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll wrap it up. So what I'm saying is if part
if
of him is
them.
Like, right. Yeah, they have to after, but we don't know now. Do we know if Rougarou is getting enough of a bag, which you're about to find out, that financial security, no one knows it more than you and I, affects the human mind and it affects how you move, you know, as a human being. It affects how you move. We always talk about the Marvin Hagler quote, I butcher it, you always say it correctly about the silk pajamas.
Yeah.
And if a bag is big enough, that happens. An MMA guy put Tyson Fury on his back pockets. That to me is a direct result of two things. The whole thing was a work, which it definitely was on some level, mixed with this guy's not training like he should be, or he's getting older, and it's, if you have $100 million in the bank, are you really in there sparring with
right.
a 23-year-old undefeated hungry heavyweight that hits like a mule, and are you really doing your road work? I mean, we saw what Fury looked like with his shirt off.
Okay, if you believe this.
I'll believe it enough to where we can revisit it if we're wrong. You know, it's not going to be.
I'm seeing nothing reputable, but I'm seeing Haney's purse is $6 million for this fight.
That's what I figured, 6, and Rougarou 3.
It's not nothing saying Rougarou. I'm not seeing any payout for
okay,
him.
Well, look, let's just, for argument's sake, you know?
Yeah.
Argument's sake, it's the end of the show. We have to finish up. We have to, I don't know if there's mail or not, but whatever. Let's just say Rougarou's getting 3. Cut that in half. That's what Uncle Sam's taking.
Right.
Now you got 1.5. Another 500,000 lawyers, managers, trainers.
Right.
$1 million isn't enough of a bag to go, I'm out of here.
So right.
He needs and wants to win.
Yeah.
And 140 is wide open.
I mean.
And there's guys there for money. Teofimo, yeah. Ryan Garcia, Tank.
Matias.
Absolutely. Matias, yeah, but no one wants it. But Tank and Teofimo are names. If it's a good fight, Devin Haney doesn't make good fights. If it is one, a rematch is a bag.
I want to just read something real quick.
Ryan Garcia is a bag.
Subriel Matias wants to face the winner of Saturday's fight between WBC welterweight light welterweight champion Regis Prograin and Devin Haney unification fight. Okay, where's the quote?
Not happening.
It says this is what Matias says. Prograin is passive and slow. He's strong. Yes, you can't take that away from him. I want to send Regis to the hospital.
Wow, I like that kind of talk. I don't agree with it. I don't like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that way, but I like when fighters think that way.
Which, by the way, he also killed somebody in the ring. So, Matias.
Yeah, so saying that means you're a
like Jesus
in the
Christ.
Head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says, for me, that would be like, an honor, of course.
That's like Kovalev shit.
Yeah. Like,
real quick before are we going through mail? Is the first question. Do we have mail or it's been too long and we need.
It's been too long.
Yeah. Irish Billy says no. So let me say this, B.
I'll respond to the mailers.
All right.
Get a personal email from me.
So, look, I think I lost my train of thought. I don't know what I was going to say. Yeah, so I think both of our picks is that he's just going to pick and paw and win 12 rounds of somewhat of a stinker. Unlike Kambosos, if that's how it happens, there will be more spurts of excitement from Rougarou. He's just cut that way. He's just cut that way. Look, I have a little birdie in your ear prediction, and that's Devin getting flattened by a right hook. But I'm not putting money on it. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
I think like you say, matchmakers do things because they're supposed to. Fights typically play out the way they're supposed to. And why? Because that's why the house always wins. And that's why Vegas has been Vegas for however long it's been Vegas.
There you go.
If we just kept picking dogs and saying this is what's going to happen, the whole world would be in an upheaval.
Right.
I believe there's a shot that he can walk him into a right hook. And if he does, he's getting flattened, because I know factually that he's chinny for a fact. He got pieced up and hurt by Lomachenko three separate times, and Loma's not a puncher. Certainly not against much bigger guys, that he's fighting. Right. Yeah, at 22, 26, 30, he can knock guys around because they're smaller, and he's strong at those weights. But he keeps going up, and he's 4 foot 11. He hurt him three. I counted three times that I was like, if he really let his shit rip, or Devin didn't intelligently get out of there and cover up and clinch, he could have got him out. But guys, look for a right hook from Regis Progre, the eighth or ninth. Just keep an eye out for that. He's probably gonna, you know, give a stinker performance. Like me and B said, it won't be as bad.
Well, if this fight is Regis is gonna either make or break this fight in terms of entertainment. So it's up to him.
Correct. And I think that if he has, you know, some guys get up for fights and you see a little bit of them former selves, I think there's a spark there and a chance there. You know what I mean?
Yep.
The guy that you and I were bigging up on this show pre Josh Taylor or whenever that was. I don't know if we had a show. Maybe together we were. Yo, we like this guy. We were just talking and texting about him. We like this guy when no one knew who he was.
Right.
Yeah, we like this guy. We like his moxie. Like how he gets down. Like tough, blue collar, Hagler-esque, you know, and not stylistically, but in a way that he conducts himself and handles himself in there. So, yeah, guys, keep an eye out for a right hook. But B and I both think distance, whatever the over is, take it probably.
Definitely take it. I think it's going to go the distance.
Yeah.
I would say take the over.
I think that if he gets short-circuited, it's in the second half of the fight, eighth or ninth, if that was to happen. You know what I mean? If you're someone who's ballsy that way, you know? Mm-hmm. We're wrapping up here.
That's it.
We're definitely not waiting two more months.
No.
Before the next one. We're actually having an off-air meeting soon about the show and how we're going to move forward and make it better and more often, et cetera, et cetera. Correct, Irish
Billy?
More Billy.
Correct.
More Billy every episode.
We're going to get Billy.
I think one of this, we should actually sit down with Billy, watch a fight.
I want him to start watching Billy, fights.
And Billy ask us questions.
I want him to tell us.
I've just been noting all the AOs this episode.
He was there.
What do you got?
We'll talk about him later.
He stopped by when we were watching Shakur. I'm like, the first thing you really sit down for is this fight. He stopped by with his wife to say hello, and that was
that turd fest.
They just missed the undercard, which was a brawl.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I gotta go.
Well, yeah. Where people find you, you dirtbag?
You can find me at I_no_that_kid on IG and KillerB24 on Instagram. No, on X, it's late. I'm tired. Twitter,
you're
X,
dumb too.
Whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. Where can they find you?
@BoxCutterPazzy on Instagram.
Stabby McStabberton on
Stop the Madness. Stop the Madness. Yours is very violent. And @BoxCutterPazzy on Instagram. @Vinny_Paz on Twitter. What about Irish Billy? Bywood Bullet.
Bywood_bullet.
The Bywood bullet.
His is very violent as well.
It's in reference to body surfing. We went over this.
All right. Guys, we'll definitely be back to preview the big heavyweight weekend. We'll be back.
We'll be back. All right. Peace.
All right, peace. Knock him out the box, pass. Knock him out the box, pass.